Oh, some of you talked about God's goodness this morning and how he came in the middle of the night to Peggy, and you know, his revelations are so wonderful and so precise, and brings me to the opening scripture. And Tom, I pulled it up. It's already there. You found it?
Yep.
Yes, because I didn't know if you'd be here quite in time, but it's there. Isaiah 49:16, and I have the NIV version. And I really like this because I have about 12 points to make out of this one little teeny tiny verse. And it is Isaiah 49:16. And there it is. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, your walls are ever before me. You've maybe heard me quote a portion of that, that how God remembers you. He never forgets you. He never overlooks you. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's kind. And he's made everything in his kingdom available to you and I. And your name is engraved on the palm of his hand. Now, I get this picture of just engraving. Anybody ever got trophies and a little plaque and there's something engraved in the face of that trophy? Well, think of your name engraved in the palm of God's hand. Do you think he's going to forget you? Do you think he's going to overlook you? Do you think he's going to forsake you? See, there's great joy in that verse of scripture. Joy that maybe you never thought that your life was all that important to anyone, and you get a birthday and you say, no big deal. Well, it really is a big deal, because that's the day that God chose to bring you into this world. And if it's big to God, it should be big to you. That day is important. I mean, I know somebody that celebrates their birthday every year and has a big party, and he's a full-grown adult. But I liked it when Blake came in today, the first words out of his mouth, "I'm 7. I said, "Yeah." Birthdays are important. But coming back to, God will have mercy in our afflictions, because God is a God of mercy and affliction. Jesus said that afflictions and persecutions arise because of the word's sake. It's not God putting these things on you to make you jump through hoops to teach you something. Jesus gave the answer. They come from the enemy. Now, if we're faithful, God is going to deliver us out of those things, because he said he would. And actually, in the New Testament, he already has. Jesus bore all these things upon himself in our place. And now, and I get this picture of the scripture about our names being engraved in the palms of God's hand. I think about the cross. And I think about when the nails went through. In Bible times, the palm also included part of the forearm as well. And so when Jesus was crucified, it went through the bones of the wrist, because otherwise your hand would just, the body weight would just tear the, would just tear it off the cross. But it went through the wrist bones between the two arm bones, so that the body weight, when one is crucified, would just hang there. But when I think of that, that tells me right there that when Jesus died, that's when your name was engraved in his hands. When that spike went through his hands, it's like a spiritual fulfillment of that verse of scripture, that every time you think that your life has no value and no worth, you think about the scripture, Isaiah 49:16. It's like there's been a mark. God took a mark on your behalf for you that represents you. Whatever it looks like, I don't know, but it says engraved. That tells me that there was like a carving, like those plaques, that's engraved with a tool. That means it's embedded into the surface. And no spikes went through Jesus' hand or his wrist. There was an engraving, if you will. He did that for you. So, why wouldn't he wake you up in the night to let you know that it's okay to forgive yourself? Because, well, who are we? Are we so special that Jesus didn't do that for us? Or should we just receive and believe that measure of faith that God has given all of us, to put our faith and our trust in the work of the cross? His word never fails us. His word always comes to pass. He watches over his word to perform it. His word does not return to him void, but it prospers whereunto he sent it. Oh, there's so much in here. But just remember the simplicity of it. I should not be so complicated. Just remember that. Just what it says. That's the Lord speaking to you today. Whatever your name is, see, I have engraved you on the palms. Notice it says plural, palms. That's why I think of the cross. It doesn't say that, but it reminds me of that. And I can easily see the connection. So the next day you're maybe in a funk, and maybe you're not thinking very spiritual. May the Holy Spirit bring this verse of Scripture to your remembrance at a time right when you need it, just for someone to let you know how special and how precious and how valuable you are and how much your life is worth to your Heavenly Father. Amen. So, before we have Huggy Break, it's Mission Sunday. I would like to receive our missions offering, and also we also have the food box as well, which will go up to the Chester Andover Family Center. And so you have two ways you can give. You can do both, neither, one or the other. Your choice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that each month we enjoy doing this together, because it helps somebody among us within our congregation to take a missions trip to further the gospel, to increase your kingdom. And we thank you for its effectiveness and helpfulness to those of us who have had the privilege of traveling as you open doors of opportunity to us. And Father, we thank you particularly for the givers to send the goers. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh my, that song is such a wonderful, wonderful description of how beautifully the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And I think about, in the beginning, going all the way back to Genesis, and all that Adam and Eve were given, that God gave them dominion and authority over everything that he created, all of his creation. And we all know the story, that deception came, followed by a little taste, and then the fall. You know, that's the story of life. God has given us great, great, great and precious promises. But the enemy tries to come in, brings deception, tries to undermine the word of God, discredit it, and makes us wonder, did God really mean that? Did God really say that? And so, at times we're tempted to take a little bite on our own and see how things go, and then the fall comes, and then we wonder how we got ourselves in that mess to begin with. But you know, 2,000 years ago on that cross, Jesus paid for it all. For every person that has ever lived, is alive, or ever will live again, the price has been paid. All that the enemy stole through Adam and Eve and robbed us and robbed generations of people has been restored. In Christ, it's all been restored. Every heartache, every heartbreak, every loss, every calamity, every tragedy, everything that could happen in our lives that fell way short of God's plan and His will for our lives, at the cross, it was restored. In the beginning, it was the Garden of Eden, where the fall was, and the restoration came in the Garden of Gethsemane. The first Adam, the last Adam. And I want to come back to our opening scripture this morning. Behold, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hand. Oh, when you got to come to that place where you finally just got to accept that God loves you so much that it's indescribable to put it in words. He's so in love with you. And no one can love us like He do. No one. And I still can't get those imprints in my mind from that scripture about engraving, and I look at that's painted on, but that's inscribed over there where the wood has actually been cut away and the letters stained in afterwards. And when you as an individual have been inscribed into God's palms, that's really special. That is so precious. If you never really had a revelation of His love for you, think about that scripture today. It's so powerful, because the enemy would just want us to see all our failures, all our shortcomings, all you really blew at this time. It's over. No, it isn't. It's just beginning. Amen. Today's a new day. Today is a day of new beginnings for every one of us. Look at Hannah. Does she think she act like she gives a hoot about all this whoop-de-doo we're having in here today? See, in our spirit, that's the way we should be like. About, yes. Well, I won't go there. But we should be excited about our daddy's hands. Our heavenly daddy, Abba Father. And how He came to serve and to not be served. And He said that out of His own mouth. Giving of Himself in a way that it was complete and total. Total and complete sacrifice. His mercy, His compassion, His love. And He's no respecter of persons. And I like that, because if Peggy can get woke up by the Lord in the middle of the night, why wouldn't He do that for any of the rest of us? If she can have a revelation that it's okay for her to forgive herself, why can't somebody else have that revelation? Why can't you be free today? Why can't you be restored today? What makes you any different? Oh, you know, the ultimate of that scripture is He's also talking about the restoration of Israel, that God has a plan for Israel too. And we've been grafted in. So the scripture about your walls are ever before me, the walls of Jerusalem, the walls that were smashed and destroyed in 70 AD when the Romans conquered Jerusalem. That was all a part of prophecy concerning Israel. And God still grieves and cares for the nation of Israel, because Israel is engraved in His hands too. But He's always had such a wonderful care for those whom he's created. Tom and I call each other critter. Well, we're all God's critters. We are. Critter's a good word. Sometimes that's the only way I can describe people I know. We're critters. And we find, even just observing, that there are parents or fathers or moms who neglect their children at times. But our Heavenly Father will never neglect us. Barbara's testimony this morning, there might be periods of time when you're waiting on God to show you what to do. What's the next move? And you don't hear anything. And I found that over the course of time, when you don't have a clear word from God, you stand still and carry on exactly what you've been doing as long as you've been doing it until he shows you to do otherwise. Wait on the Lord and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord and trust in him. Because how much more does he have to do to show us how much he loves us and cares for us? So today, as we go to prayer, I just have to just do that, because there aren't a lot of churches that take the time to pray for each other at the end of a service. They're too quick to bust them in and bust them out, and prayer is not a big part of a lot of churches today. So we might be a little old-fashioned. Yes, Tom?
Can I add a scripture?
Oh, please do. And that's close to where he rejoices over us with singing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, 3:16. Amen. So, if you're here this morning and you would like prayer, anointing with oil, whatever, let's pray.